Following are comments on William Shakespeare's Henry IV, Part 1, Act 4. This sickness doth infect the very lifeblood of our enterprise. Northumberland says he's too ill to take part in the fighting, and Glendower's troops must delay their coming on, but Hotspur is determined to forge ahead with the rebellion. In Act 4, Scene 1, things are going badly for the rebels since Hotspur's father, Henry Percy, Earl of Northumberland, reports that he is ill. Northumberland encourages the rebels to keep going anyway. As he puts the case in a letter to Hotspur, quote unquote, "There is no quailing now because the king is certainly possessed of all our purposes." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 39 through 41. Worcester is worried since he thinks Percy's absence will cause their Confederates to think twice about supporting the rebels. Hotspur is not slow to recognize how perilous the news is, saying, quote unquote, "This sickness doth infect the very lifeblood of our enterprise." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 28 through 29. But soon his focus turns to the epic confrontation he means to have with, quote unquote, "the nimble-footed madcap Prince of Wales, even if Sir Richard Vernon has nothing but high praise for that same prince." Act 4, Scene 1, line 94. As the scene closes, the news that Owen Glendower will be unable to put together his forces for 2 weeks scarcely makes a dent in Hotspur's almost reckless enthusiasm. He says, quote unquote, "Come, let us take a muster speedily. Doomsday is near. Die all, die merrily." Act 4, Scene 1, lines 132 through 133. Hotspur is spirited and noble, but he doesn't possess the practical regard for facts that a ruler must. A man who doesn't care whether 30,000 or 40,000 soldiers will oppose him is unlikely to win his battles. To be fair, Prince Hal will later, as Henry V in France, fight some successful battles at very long odds, the most famous one at Agincourt in October 1415. Even so, he will not proceed in sheer disregard of his circumstances. "I have got, in exchange of 150 soldiers, 300 and odd pounds." Falstaff confesses in soliloquy that he has turned his infantry commission into a money-making scam. Prince Hal and Westmoreland tell him to make his way towards the fighting. In Act 4, Scene 2, what has Sir John Falstaff done with his infantry commission? Predictably, he has pulled a deadly scam on Prince Hal and the king, threatening with conscription only those men he knows will pay good money to get out of their service. As Falstaff himself puts it, quote unquote, "I have misused the king's press damnably. I have got an exchange of 150 soldiers, 300 and odd pounds. Act 4, Scene 2, lines 11 through 13. To replace the men who have bought their way out of conscription, Falstaff has drafted poor ragged fools who have no money and therefore no way to escape military service. When Prince Hal drops by, he can hardly believe his eyes and calls Falstaff's soldiers, quote unquote, "pitiful rascals." Act 4, Scene 2, line 58. "Tut, tut," says Sir John unconscionably, quote unquote, "good enough to toss, food for powder, food for powder. Tush, man, mortal men, mortal men." Act 4, Scene 2, lines 59 through 61. The callousness of this wayward knight is astonishing, but the truth is, the sort of corruption to which Falstaff so breezily admits was common. Falstaff is beginning to appear as the parasite he really is, and his jests will end in the death of many poor men who have done him no harm, but whom he literally thinks of as nothing more than cannon fodder. At least at this point, it is difficult not to question the prince's judgment. He has freely given an irresponsible rogue the authority to command soldiers, and what makes it worse is that Falstaff didn't even ask him to do it. "My father and my uncle and myself did give him that same royalty he wears," Sir Walter Blunt calls upon Hotspur and his commanders with a request from King Henry to detail their complaints to him, with a pardon in the offing. Worcester will visit King Henry to negotiate. The Archbishop of York and Sir Michael discuss the rebels' odds for victory. In Act 4, scenes 3 through 4, while Vernon counsels delay to Hotspur since so many of their soldiers are either not yet in place or not rested enough to fight, Sir Walter Blunt visits the rebels with what he calls, quote-unquote, gracious offers from the king. Act 4, scene 3, line 30. In simple terms, King Henry is willing to hear their grievances and redress them to the extent that he can. A pardon is also on offer if they will cease their attacks. Hotspur has no shortage of specific complaints to rehearse with Sir Walter, but what most infuriates him and the other great medieval lords aligned with him is that they supported Bolingbroke when he was desperate for their help, and now he treats them with disdain. As Hotspur states the case, quote-unquote, my father and my uncle and myself did give him that same royalty he wears. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 54 through 55. Hotspur also claims that his father, Northumberland, only cast in his lot with Henry Bolingbroke because he, quote-unquote, heard him swear and vow to God he came but to be Duke of Lancaster, to sue his livery and beg his peace, with tears of innocency and terms of zeal. Act 4, Scene 3, lines 60 through 63. Perhaps Northumberland and his fellow lords believed Henry when he said this, but it seems naive to have treated such an oath as anything but situational rhetoric. A nobleman can't return unbidden from exile, attack his sovereign with an armed force, and expect to be treated kindly. In Act 4, Scene 4, the Archbishop of York, Richard Scrope, determines in conversation with Sir Michael at York Castle that he had better take precautions against King Henry, who by now is aware of his being in league with the rebels. Things aren't looking good for the rebels, but there's no going back now. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition, 4-volume genre-based format.